Let's bring in our friend, Sportsnet 650's very own prospect analyst. He is Ryan Beach, also with The Athletic. What is going on, Ryan? How are you?
I am well. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing great. And we had Ryan Johnson on yesterday, and it's always fun catching up with him. And he had a lot of great things to say about Ole Ulevi. And guess what? He scores a goal last night. And when you watch how he's progressed from the start of training camp up until this point now with the Comets, he's been getting better, it seems, every single week. So where do you think his game's at right now?
I think it's trending in the right direction for sure. Last night was a bit of a, I don't want to say train wreck, but it was a bit of a mess for the Comets overall. So, you know, I think that's the one bright spot you can take away from last night is Ole Ulevi getting on the board with this first AHL goal. And I think that, as you kind of asked there, is, you know, from the start of the year to this year, or sorry, start of the year to now, he's much more confident in what he's doing. He's willing to do, you know, carry the puck, make that really good first pass out of the zone. And him and Jalen Chatfield have looked really good together as kind of that, you know, puck moving, puck possession defensive pair that isn't overly physical, but just seems to always make the right play and move the puck in the right direction. And they've been doing really well. And it's good to see that they're sticking with that pair because they've been doing really well together. I know you mentioned maybe Ashton Sautner prior to me jumping on, and I know that there's quite a few people within the organization that you're not high on Sautner because I don't think he has a high ceiling, but I think that they think he has a good chance of being an NHL player or an NHL regular as a depth defenseman. So he's also been playing pretty well as kind of a, you know, a second, third pairing defenseman for the Comets as well.
Yeah, and when you start looking at who's going to be the first guy to come up, do you want Ulevi to keep playing there for another month or two, or do you think we might see him here sooner rather than later?
It's funny, someone asked me that the other day last week, saying who do I think would be the first call up, and I said Ulevi, but then I had to, you know, preface it with saying, well, unless injuries happen and they have to call someone up earlier, then it might be someone else. But so, you know, if we're talking within a couple of weeks, you know, the injury bug runs through the Canucks defense and we're down to, you know, six, then maybe we see someone like Ashton Sautner or Alex Biega come back up just to you know, sit in the press box or do spot duty here and there. But I think if we're talking about where there's going to be a long-term position open up and it's now December, January, then that's when it's Ulevi's time. Because I think, you know, we've talked about it quite a few times over the, you know, few months, is that it's most important for these players to play, get in the lineup and play as many minutes as possible. And if they're going to be sitting in the press box, even, you know, every second night, it's better for them to go down to the Utica and play minutes down there.
Ryan, what is the relationship like between Ulevi and Jalen Chatfield when they play together? Because we do know that defensemen often, they only get to shine bright and best when they know they have a really good, steady defensive partner.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's really hard to evaluate these players. Like, even when you look at Ulevi, like, it's not going to be a great goal that he scored yesterday. It was just a nice shot that gets to the point. And I think that that's kind of the same thing for Jalen Chatfield. Both of them are not going to really stand out in terms of, you know, making those end-to-end rushes or doing things like that. Both of them are just going to play smart, steady games, and it's going to, you know, stand out over the sum of the parts rather than the individual efforts of each one.
And if Ulevi does eventually get a call up to Vancouver, well, he's going to at some point, but when he does, who do you think is the best partner to be playing him with? Because let's just say Tanev and Edler aren't getting separated based on their deployment and their ice time from Travis Green. Is it Troy Stetcher? Is it Gudbranson? Is there anyone that you think would be a natural fit for Ulevi right now?
Personally, I like the Hutton and Stetcher pairing together. I know that there's obviously a lot of people who don't like the pairing, but I think the two of them are very effective at stopping transition through the neutral zone and standing up at the line. You know, they may have some troubles when it gets a little bit more physical in their own zone, but I think that this, again, the sum of the parts, I think them together outweighs their negatives. And I think that they played really well in the last couple of games. It should keep them together. When it comes to Tanev and Edler, I think that Tanev is the right fit for Ulevi to kind of ease him into the NHL. And, you know, although, you know, the Canucks didn't give up, you know, didn't get scored on too much by the Pittsburgh Penguins, Edler and Tanev were, you know, struggling when it came in terms of shot differential and high danger shots and things like that. So I think that that might be the best opportunity for him, and then put someone with like Edler with, I guess, Gudbranson to kind of spread out spread out the defenseman that way, kind of make sure that Ulevi does have that veteran presence on the right side and can, you know, help him out. And I don't think that someone who's physical like Gudbranson is the right partner for Ulevi. I think it's someone who's smarter and plays a similar game to Ulevi, such as Tanev, which will allow Ulevi to succeed.
We're talking to Ryan Beach, Sportsnet 650's very own prospect analyst. Now, you know, when we start looking at the forwards down with the Comets, Reid Boucher is off to such a fast start. But how do we view Reid Boucher at this point? Do we look at him as a player the Canucks might actually recall? or do we look at him as a guy who's essentially just a quad A player and he's keeping, you know, the spot on the top line, helping out the young guys? Like, what do we make of Reed Boucher? And do you think he can get called up above a kid like Dahlin, for instance, in a month or two when they need somebody?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, as you said, he's a quadruple A player, which is a player that's just too good for the AHL, but just kind of lacks, you know, a complete skill set to hang in the NHL on a regular basis. And I think that, you know, Reed Boucher is exactly that. He just doesn't have the foot speed to kind of keep up, despite having a really good shot and good offensive awareness. I think that also it has to do with the fact of where the Canucks are in, as an organization, and that they don't really have players other than, I'd say, Gaudette at this point that are pushing to be in the NHL. You know, the kids like Dahlin and Lind and Gadjevich and Palmu and Jasik, when they've gotten into the lineup, have played well, but I don't think that they're the players knocking down the door to push. So I think that, you know, because of where the Canucks are in that kind of transition phase of getting their prospects up from junior and college and all these things, they kind of don't have those players pushing that they can call up and put in. So then that means that someone like Reed Boucher probably is going to be the next call-up option at forward. Again, if injuries happen quickly, you know, if we're talking in December, January, and maybe Dahlin has really found his feet underneath him then I think it changes. But if we're talking about now, November, I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like Reed Boucher, or, you know, although he hasn't, you know, jumped off the page, someone like Tanner Caro, just because, you know, they played in the NHL, they have that experience, and the coaching staff might be a little bit more comfortable spotting them in with 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes rather than have someone like Dahlin sit on the bench.
Right, because that's the other side of this too, right? It's like you want to bring guys up, but if you bring in somebody up for a game or two and they're going to be on the fourth line, you know, do you bring up a veteran to send him back down? Do you bring a young guy in and give him a chance? And I think that's going to be what the team will be navigating. And before we get to some young players on the Canucks, I did want to ask you this question, and it is a listener question too, from Gordy Locke on Twitter. From what you know, Beecher, what's going on with Nikita Trampkin? He's been healthy scratch, stripped of the C. From what you've seen, like, what's happening with Nikita Trampkin in the KHL right now?
My Russian isn't very good, so I can't really give too many scouting reports on what's out there. But, you know, just from watching the games that he's been in, I found him to be a little bit more passive in his game than he was last year. I think that, you know, last year we talked about Trampkin a few times, kind of here and there, and what stood out to me is he was being more assertive in his play. He was, you know, jumping up in the rush or carrying the puck or being a little bit more physical. He's not going to, you know, do like he did in Anaheim where he's going to take on an entire line, but he's using his size effectively. And so far in the games that I've seen of his, you know, he isn't doing that. He's just being a little bit more passive and kind of just letting the play go around him. And I think that might be contributing to his healthy scratch. I can't speak to what, you know, the stripping of the C. That might be something internally with the coaching staff or him or the team or something like that. But looking at his play and seeing that he was healthy scratch, I can't say that I was shocked based on, you know, the way he has played. I think that, you know, the way he played last year might have given him a longer leash with the coaching staff. But if you're looking at, in a vacuum, the handful of games this year, I'm not too shocked by it.
Now, for Trampkin in general, from what you've seen from last year to this year, and Canucks fans want to see him back here in Vancouver, of course, at some point, but I think we have this romantic view of Trampkin when he was here. What do you make of his potential if he does come back to the NHL? Can he be a top four guy, or do you think he's more likely to be a third pairing defenseman with size and physicality?
I think you're absolutely kind of hit the nail on the head there, is that he was just kind of a bright light for the organization at the time when he came over, and he gave them something that they lack. And I still do think that when he's playing the game that he's capable of, he gives something that the Canucks back end doesn't really have, is that size and the willingness to be physical without, you know, running around and trying to draw penalties and things like that. I think he's, you know, he's a big, gentle giant. He'll be physical when he needs to be, but he can still, you know, move the puck reasonably well when he's playing confidently. And I think that, you know, if he does eventually come back, I think that, you know, we're going to be in a completely different group than we are talking about right now. You know, I'm working on a piece right now talking about what the Canucks defense may look like even next year. And it's pretty safe to assume that it's going to be drastically different with Quinton Hughes coming over. Uelevi likely getting a full-time spot. You know, Edler being a free agent, Delgado being a free agent. So it's going to be drastically different than what it was when he came over. So given that, if he does come back, you know, he may only end up being a third pairing defenseman, and that might actually be the best role for him in the long run.
Talking with Ryan Beach, Sportsnet 650's prospect analyst here on Sportsnet 650. And Ryan, Nikolai Goldobin played his first game without Pettersson with Adam Gaudette. Didn't get a whole lot of minutes. That entire line played less than 12, Gaudette less than 9. Goldobin, though, has he shown enough for you to say that he has to be firmly part of the top six, or is he still a guy who's still asked to answer a lot of questions as to whether or not he can stick?
No, I think he's firmly in the top six for me, and I think he always has been, as long as he continues to do what he had done in preseason and what he'd done with Pettersson. And I think that the game in Pittsburgh, despite not playing a lot of minutes, I think he did extremely well. There's an individual, Daryl Keeping, who tracks kind of the micro stats of Canucks games, mm-hmm. and he does a really good job of now adding gifts to the plays that he's talking about. And there's Goldobin specifically had three primary shot assists despite having limited ice time, two of which were really standout plays of defenders attacking from the blue line that got a kind of a shot within the home plate area because of the space that was created by Goldobin. So I think that he's doing all the things he can do. He's a little bit more of a high risk player. He's willing to bounce the puck off of his stick, like we saw in that game earlier this week. He's willing to, chip a puck over a defender's stick while he's on his back. These are high risk plays that, look flashy, but probably give coaches nightmares. So I think that that's where there's some of that concern. But I think that, he gives the top six something that they kind of lack, is that playmaking ability, that really complimented Pettersson. And it's not like we're talking about Pettersson's going to be out for 2, 3, 4 months. We're talking about Pettersson should be back within the coming weeks, and then, he'll slide back right into that spot.
Adam Gaudette will be a part of this team for the next little while. The Canucks take on the Jets to wrap up their road trip, but do you think it's going to take at least until Saturday and maybe Monday, when the Canucks are back at home, that we see Gaudette playing a little bit more, since Travis Green will have the last chance at making a change and hopefully getting Gaudette into better situations?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's a kind of an unfortunate time to be called up for him. Like, you're obviously staring down at the Pittsburgh Penguin center depth, where you have Crosby, Malkin, and then Broussard as 1, 2, 3 down the middle. And that's, that's pretty overwhelming for any kind of centerman. And then asking a player with only a handful of games of NHL experience under his belt to take that on, I'm not surprised to see his ice time kind of low. And I won't be surprised to see his ice time kind of low tonight against Winnipeg as well, for a similar thing. It's just because of how deep the lineup is, and it's easier for the coaching staff to, rely more on the Sutters and the Granlunds and things like that. But yeah, when they get home, I would hope that Gaudette is going to get a little bit more ice time in terms of 5-on-5 play, and maybe a bigger role on the power play as well. Just because the coaching staff has a little bit more control about the competition he's facing. I think also Gaudette played pretty well given the ice time that he was afforded in Pittsburgh. And if he can continue to do those things and show, the 3-zone play that he's done really well at in Utica so far, I think that the trust will grow and grow, and then he'll be given more ice time as it goes along.
And Ryan, before we get out of here, we do have to throw something about Quinn Hughes by you. We are on Quinn Hughes watch all season. And, the schedule in Michigan is interesting because they had the regular season game, then a couple exhibition games, and then tomorrow night they play against Western Michigan. So now they're back at playing the regular schedule. From what you've seen from Quinn Hughes so far, we talked about how he played against Vermont, but the last couple exhibition games, how do you think his game is looking so far?
It's been looking good so far. I was going to say you're going to have to get Bick to make a Quinn Hughes watch, like, intro or outro,
yes,
or whatever, so that it's,
yes,
everyone knows that we've shifted to Quinn Hughes here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year for Michigan.
We got the Michigan fight song.
There you go. Yeah, it's been an interesting year for Michigan. For an example, Harvard finally kicks off their year this Saturday. So Jack Rathbone finally played his first NCAA game. But as you mentioned, Michigan's already played 3 games, 2 of which being an exhibition game, and then 1 against Vermont, which was, almost 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
It's been a weird way to kind of evaluate where Quinn Hughes is, in terms of last year. I think that, he's been playing pretty well. I think his standout performance was against Vermont, despite losing 5-2. And then against the U18 team last week, he played pretty well. There was a couple plays that he was probably a little too aggressive, and that left his partner kind of in the weeds, and they scored, including Jack, his brother's goal, where he kind of got really aggressive on the winger. And then all of a sudden, Jack Hughes had all this space to kind of attack the net. So, it's kind of been up and down, but it's been pretty good so far. He's displaying the things that I think what makes Canucks fans really excited about him is his ability to carry the puck, to be a one-man breakout machine, which I feel like I say every single week. And walking the line is, the things that stand out about Quinn Hughes games, you'll see every single time you see him play. It's just about being, a consistent player for every single minute that he's on the ice, and not be too aggressive in the defensive zone, not be too aggressive in the offensive zone, but to make sure that when those opportunities are there, he is seizing them. So I'm really intrigued to see how they're going to do against Western Michigan. It's a good test. Western Michigan's now in the top 20 in coaching ranking, so it's not a pushover team anymore. So it should be a good thing. And then, they play set Friday, Saturday and get their feet under them. And I'm really also intrigued to see how Lockwood can continue mm-hmm. to do what he's doing, because he's been playing really well for the three games. And there was a bit of a drop off last game, but not a drastic one. So hopefully he can hit the ground running now that they're back to the NCAA competition.
Sportsnet 650.